Amen. As you take a seat, you can open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6 if you have one. If you don't, there should be one nearby in the seat back in front of you. If you don't find one there, you'll see the words on the screen in just a few moments. I was running late just a little bit ago, and so I missed the announcements and whatnot, but I did want to mention two things I'm super excited about. One of those is our young adult expansion. So if you're a young adult, our young adult small group is expanding on June 9th. It's just a couple weeks away, and they are launching it on June 9th with a big breakfast at 9:15 on the fourth floor. So the young adults are basically taking over the fourth floor of our education building. And so if you are a young married, if you are single, if you are college and in that career stage starting off, this is for you. So I encourage you to be a part of that launch. You will not want to miss it. But also, many of you I know missed the presentation last Sunday night, kind of the vision team's presentation with the legacy campaign. If you missed that, there's still brochures available that look like this. We have one per couple or family or households. You can pick that up. We'll be voting on June 9th, and so make sure you look through that, ask any questions that you might have, and we should be getting some internal renderings sometime in the next few days, and so we'll be posting that as well of our lobby and things like that you won't want to miss. So big things happening. Be praying for that. But Matthew chapter 6 is where we'll be today, starting in verse 19. So the movie is based on Peter Pan, and this movie was released in December of 1991, over 30 years ago, which is kind of crazy. But the movie is called Hook. And Hook was a movie full of movie stars, if you've seen it. Julia Roberts played Tinkerbell. Captain Hook was played by Dustin Hoffman. And Robin Williams played the part of Peter Pan. And in this movie version, Peter Pan has grown up. He's married with kids, living in the real world. And he has forgotten who he is. He's forgotten that he's Peter Pan. But he returns to Neverland. And when he does, there is a new leader leading the Lost Boys. And this new leader's name is Rufio. Rufio, if you've seen the movie. And so there's a scene in the movie with the Lost Boys in Neverland, and they are standing before Rufio and Robin Williams, or Peter Pan. So they're standing before their new leader, Rufio, and Peter Pan, their old leader. And then a line is drawn in the sand, and the Lost Boys are told to choose Rufio or Peter Pan. We can't have two leaders here. You have to choose. Who do you choose? What's your decision? Where does your loyalty lie? Where is your allegiance? Who will be your leader, Rufio or Peter Pan? I bring this up, or this movie up, because today we find that in a way, our hearts, our souls, our minds, our very lives are given a similar choice or decision. A choice between Jesus or our earthly treasures. What will be our decision? Where does our loyalty lie? Where is our allegiance? Who or what will lead us? Is Jesus the treasure of our hearts, the treasure of our eyes or our minds? Is he the treasure we choose, or is it something or someone else? What's our decision? Now, we just finished up a really big section in the Sermon on the Mount. If you missed that, you can go back online and watch them, where we saw that your action can be on point, but your aim can be off point. So for imagine you're playing golf and you are on the tee box of the seventh hole and it's a par three, which if you don't know golf, that just means it's a really short hole that in one shot you can get the ball on the green. And so there you are on the tee box of the seventh hole. You get lined up. You go through the whole motions. You strike the ball really well. The ball lands on the green, rolls to the cup, and falls in. You immediately jump up and down. You're hooping and hollering. Why? Because you just got a hole in one. And for you in your career, it's your very first one and probably going to be your only one. And so you get this hole in one. So you're celebrating. You're all excited. But then one of your buddies taps you on the shoulder and says, listen, that's great. You made it into the cup, but that was the hole on the ninth green. Meaning, you aimed for a different green, a different flag, a different cup that belonged to a different hole. Your action can be perfect. Your setup, your motion, everything about the shot can be perfect. But if your aim is directed at the wrong green, then what does it matter? Meaning, what good is your action if your aim is bad? What good is your action if your aim is bad? So within that section, I asked us a series of questions, and those questions ultimately were after this why question. Why do we practice perfect? Why do we go to church? Why do we gather in small groups? Why do we serve and give to those in need? Why do we tithe or give our offerings? Why do we read scripture and pray? Why do we do these things? What is our why? What green, if you will, are we aiming for? Is it the right green or the wrong green? And I asked us those questions because that big section, which opens up Matthew chapter 6, is focused on practicing perfect with our aim set on the right goal, set on the right green, if you will, practicing perfect for the right reason, the why being Jesus and not for self, for Jesus and not for self, the why being not for self-glory but for God-glory. And from that section, there is a natural transition to this choice that Jesus puts before us. Jesus presents to us a choice between two different treasures, heavenly treasure or earthly treasure, two different visions or eyesights or really mindsets, light or darkness, and then two different masters, that which will lead us to have ownership or that which will lead us or have ownership of us. Is it God or is it money? Now, some of your translations will say mammon, as we'll see, but that word just simply means money or it means assets or possessions or investments. In other words, any and all earthly treasure. So again, he puts before us this choice, and it really comes down to Jesus or earthly treasures. So from last section to this section, there is a connection. To those who respond to the last section by telling Jesus, hey, we're practicing perfect for you. This is all for you. Well, Jesus now says in response to your response, listen, that's great, that's wonderful, but you must know that your why, your aim, your goal cannot be divided. It must be single-focused. You cannot aim for the green on the seventh hole and simultaneously aim for the green on the ninth hole. It's logically impossible. You just can't do it. You must choose one or the other. You have to choose Rufio or Peter Pan. You must choose either your earthly treasures or Jesus. Is it Jesus or your earthly treasures? What is your decision? So this is what he says. Look at verse 19 there. He says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. And literally, the verb in this is it's continuation. It means don't continue to be laying up for yourselves treasures on earth. In other words, stop the practice of doing that. Stop the practice of hoarding and pursuing your earthly treasure boxes, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Of course, in that day and age, they had these kind of mud walls. Most Palestinian homes did, and so it was really easy to break through that wall and to steal things. It was very easy for somebody to have their earthly treasures stolen from them. So he's saying, listen, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but instead, lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Verse 22, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. In other words, what your eye is set on, if it's light, then it'll be healthy. But if your eye is bad, if it's set on bad things, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? So if your mindset and your eyes are set on earthly treasures, above and before heavenly treasures, you get darkness. And he says, listen, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or God and money, or God and earthly treasures. You can't do it. So therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will wear or put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them or provides for them. Are you not more valuable than they? Verse 27, in which of you by being anxious can add a single hour to a span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, they would often use oven to heat, or use grass to heat the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, hey, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, or another way to say this is unbelievers, seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God, or heavenly treasure, or the light, or Jesus. Seek his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, don't be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now, according to NBC, there is a Norwegian man named Erlend Bohr who was told by his doctor to start getting some exercise. So as a result, Erlend, who you can see here in the picture, he picked up a hobby that included searching for gold with a metal detector. This was his hobby, to get more exercise. And to most people's disbelief, Erlend had barely unwrapped his new metal detector when he discovered what experts have described as the gold find of the century. Erlend stumbled across the unique treasure, which is more than 1,500 years old. The treasure is in that little box that he's holding up there in the picture. On the verge of going home, Erlend said he tried a nearby hill, and it took seconds for him to find this gold treasure. Initially, though, he said he thought it was toy gold coins or chocolate money. But experts at a university's archaeological museum later determined that Erlend had come across 9 gold pendants, 3 gold rings, and 10 gold pearls, all lying barely 5 inches below the ground. It was worth, nobody quite knows the number yet, but a significant amount of money. And I think about that story because most of our world is like Erlend Bohr. So many are in pursuit, or their passion is earthly treasure. Seeking to find earthly treasure in hopes that it'll provide, sustain, and give them something that they falsely believe only earthly treasure can provide, sustain, or give. And what Jesus is saying is, that cannot be your aim. That's the wrong aim. That's the wrong goal. That's the wrong green. And Jesus is also saying, if you're to be my followers, those who live in me and who are now to live like me, then that means you cannot simultaneously and lovingly pursue earthly treasure while at the same time pursuing heavenly treasure. You must choose. Because as Jesus says, you'll love the one and hate the other. You'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. So make sure, Jesus is saying, you choose me over and before, first and foremost, over and before worldly treasures. Now, a couple of disclaimers. And I gave these disclaimers when we walked through the book of James last fall, because James hits on this passage as well. But just a couple of things. Jesus is not saying in this passage, hey, it's wrong, it's bad, or it's foolish or immoral to have or possess earthly treasures. Jesus is not saying, hey, don't save money, don't have investments, don't acquire any assets, don't plan anything with the resources or assets or investments or money that God gives you. He's not saying that having these things or doing something with these things is bad or wrong or foolish or immoral. Because actually, overall, Old Testament and New Testament, Scripture teaches we ought to save, we ought to invest, we ought to plan, we ought to be good stewards of everything God gives us. We are possessors of these things, not owners of these things, and he expects us to handle them wisely, especially when it comes to earthly treasures, be that your resources, your assets, your money, your investments, your relationships. Jesus is not saying don't save, don't plan, be childish with the days or with what God gives you. Nor is he condemning the rich for being rich. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's getting at. However, there is, as one source said, a fine balance, and we as U.S. citizens, or us here in the Western culture, need to hear this. There is a fine balance between preparing and providing versus hoarding and handing our hearts over to our earthly treasures. Which leads to what Jesus is actually saying when he presents to us this choice between heavenly treasure or earthly treasure, light or darkness, God or mammon. At the heart of what Jesus is saying is that we cannot give our hearts, we cannot give our minds, our souls, our lives, our full allegiance, attention, and devotion to treasures on earth, whether that be our pursuit of it or be it our possession of it. We cannot give ourselves over to the treasures on earth, while at the same time saying to ourselves or to others that, hey, I'm living life fully for Jesus. We cannot have it both ways. We cannot at the same time aim for the right goal and the wrong goal. We cannot choose both Jesus and earthly treasures. It's one or the other. And Jesus is imploring us, pleading with us, choose first and foremost heavenly treasures. Choose light, choose God over earthly treasures. And we might say to that, well, why? Why can't I serve both? Why can't my attention be divided, my devotion be divided? What does it really matter? From this passage, I can think of three reasons why we must choose Jesus over earthly treasures. Number one is this: it's impossible to give ourselves fully to both. And Jesus requires, when we follow him, that we fully give ourselves to him. So it's impossible to give ourselves fully to both. Meaning, as Jesus says, you cannot have two masters. He didn't say two employers, as somebody pointed out. You can have multiple jobs. You cannot have multiple owners. He uses this image of slavery. When there's a master, there's only one master who owns you. You cannot have two masters. Only one something or one someone will own you. It's your choice what or who that something or someone is. And whatever or whoever you allow to own you will possess your heart. Where your treasure is, he says, there your heart is also. So what owns you gets your heart. It gets your devotion. It gets your love. The heart, as one person put it, equals the center of personality, the embracing mindset, or our mind, our emotions, our will. Meaning, whatever our treasure is, whichever or whoever we choose as our master, will control our direction, will control our values, will control our actions. It will control our very lives. This is why Paul in Colossians said, set your minds on things above. Set your eyes on Jesus, on living for Jesus, on heavenly treasure, on light, on God. Why? Because you cannot give your heart to both, things below and things above. You have to choose. This is why the psalmist writes, if riches increase, set not your heart on them. Jesus mentions Solomon. Solomon is what some people think the richest person to ever live. If riches increase for you, you're the next Solomon. Don't set your heart on those earthly treasures. Don't set your heart on them. Don't set your mind on them, because you cannot have two masters. Either Jesus is your master or your earthly treasures are your master. And you'll be devoted to one and you'll despise the other one. You'll love the one and you'll hate the other one. You cannot choose both. So we had better not get caught despising God, hating God, or despising the things of God because we're too in love with our earthly treasures, having chosen our earthly treasures to be our masters. So that's number one. Number two, why we must choose Jesus over and before earthly treasure. Number two is, if you give your heart to earthly treasures, it will lead to sorrows. It will lead to sorrows. And that's true now. It's also true in the future. It will lead to you always chasing, never finding. Always wanting, never having. Choosing earthly treasures will drive you into anxiety. It will drive you into worry. It will drive you into doubt. It'll drive you into disbelief. It's why Jesus used the word for a miserable, anxious worry something like 6 times in 9 verses. I don't know if you picked that up. He kept saying anxious and anxious and anxious. It's why Jesus also said, oh, you of little faith, to the one who chooses earthly treasure over and before Jesus. Paul would put it like this to Timothy, for the love of money, for the love of earthly treasure is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people, craving money, have wandered from the true faith. They were actually among us, but now they've wandered from the true faith and have pierced themselves with many sorrows because they chose money over Jesus, or earthly treasure over Jesus. Again, most of our world is like Erland Bohr. So many are in the pursuit of earthly treasure in hopes that it'll provide, sustain, and give them something that they believe only earthly treasure can provide, sustain, or give. Yet all that chasing and wanting is leading people to historic levels of anxiety. That's why we have everything we could possibly want in this culture, but everybody's anxious and worried. Perhaps because we have a misplaced heart. So now we're full of worry and doubt and fear and disbelief about the economy and our assets and our investments, about food, what are we going to eat, about clothing, how are we going to clothe ourselves, about housing, what happens with this, that, or the other, and so on it goes. And what Jesus is saying is that's the wrong aim. That's the wrong goal, the wrong green. Choose the narrow path. Choose heavenly treasure. Choose the upward path. Choose light. Choose God. And if you do that, it leads to joy. It leads to peace. It leads to assurance. It leads to hope. It leads to freedom. Reason number three why we must choose Jesus over earthly treasures is a point that I've also used before when talking about this subject. But number three is because all our earthly treasures will, regardless of what we think or plan or do, all of them will rot, ruin, or rust. That's what Jesus' point here. And if that doesn't happen, they'll at least get stolen from us. They will rot, ruin, and rust. And even now, they're rotting, they're ruining, they're rusting. Meaning, at some point in time, all of them will be gone. Everything in your grasp will be gone. Proving them not to be the God we sometimes think or hope them to be, because God is stable, consistent, and always there. proving that they will never bring us true everlasting fulfillment and peace. They can only offer us, in a way, a mirage, an illusion of fulfillment and peace that in the end only leads to sorrows, more and more anxiety and worry and doubt and fear and disbelief. If we give our hearts to them, if we give our hearts to our riches or our earthly treasures. Jesus is saying, we better not give our hearts to earthly treasure. It'll only lead to a vain pursuit of fulfillment. It will only lead to your sorrows. Because all of our resources, assets, investments are and will rot, ruin, and rust. It's fleeting. It will one day be gone. Think of it like this. In college at UCO there in Edmond, Stephanie and I were having a date night. And I was in charge of getting the food and everything like that. And so I go get a pizza. And I was a very great chef at the time. And I go get some pizza. And I also go get her favorite drink, which is a Dr. Pepper, and then my favorite drink, which is Coca-Cola. And I go get to the gas station or wherever I got them, or Sonic or something, and I have these big old 24 ounces of the drink filled up. And then I got us some candy as well. It's going to be just a laid-back, easy night, just hanging out there on campus, there in the dorms. And so I get all this stuff. I arrive at her dorms, I'm in the parking lot, I get out of the car, I get my treasures, if you will. I get the pizza, and then I get one soda and put it on, and I get another soda and put it on, and then I get the candy and I put it on the box, because it's functioning as a plate at this point. And I get it all in my hands like this, and Stephanie is over there waiting at the door, and she can see me coming, and I've got my treasure box here that I'm about to present to her. This is all my work and my labor that's gone into this. And so I have literally, again, the drinks on the pizza box and the candy on top, and I'm holding the box like this, and I begin the walk of what I think is going to be joy and excitement that I'm bringing this treasure to her and everything. And within moments, it all came crashing down, and we didn't quite enjoy those things. And I got to thinking about that when thinking about this. Because it doesn't matter what our bank account is, whether it's negative $10 or $10 million. It doesn't matter what our plans are for tomorrow or for today. It doesn't matter what our investments are, or our buildings, or houses, or assets, or cars, whatever it is. It doesn't matter all of these things. They eventually rot, ruin, and rust. They eventually come crashing down. You had them in your hand for a moment, and then they're gone. Therefore, what Jesus is saying is we had better make sure that our heart doesn't belong to that which is fading, to that which is coming to an end, to that which is on the verge of crashing down. We better make sure that our hearts belong to Jesus. If we don't, then what we'll find is more and more anxiety, more and more sorrows, and that which is once in our hand, fleeting. So let us choose Jesus. Yesterday, we were standing in our kitchen at our house, and I was looking outside the window, and in our backyard, there is this old above-ground pool. It's very old. It's starting to rust and all that kind of good stuff. And because of its age, the liner along the edge of the pool is beginning to kind of fray, and you can see the strings and things like this coming out of it. And I'm sitting there in the kitchen, and I'm looking out the window, and I see a bird caught in those strings. And it's literally like flopping by the side of the pool in the water, caught in this string. And of course, I'm like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Like, is this really happening? And so we're kind of like freaking out, like, what do we do? And so I just go get a glove. I get some scissors. I'll just cut them loose. And so I go outside, and this bird is just squealing in a way that I've never heard a bird squeal before. Because the bird is entangled, the bird is trapped, and the bird is now consumed with anxiety, with worry, with fear. I'm about to lose my life. What I once had is now gone. It's whatever goes through a bird's mind, I don't know, I'm just assuming, right? And so it's freaking out, though. It's squealing really, really in a bad way. And so I have the glove, and I grab the string, and I kind of pull the bird up. And it's wrapped really good around the wings, but it had gotten caught, though. The main catch was around its foot. And so I just begin this slow, methodical cutting the string around this bird. And first came the wings, and then finally came the foot that was set free. The bird immediately jumped down and just went off, free at last. And you know, many of us, maybe in this room, maybe for sure in our culture, are caught, trapped, and entangled by our love and pursuit of earthly treasures, which is leading us to all sorts of sorrows and anxieties, squealing and fear and worry and doubt. And Jesus is saying in this passage, let me cut you free. Simply quit fighting. Stop doing what you're doing. Allow me to set you free. Choose me, wholly and fully, single-focused. Set your heart, your mind, your soul, your very self on me. Let me be the master of your life, and I'll cut you free. I'll give you joy. I'll give you peace. I'll give you freedom. But you have to choose me, single-focused, first and foremost. But many of us still come back to that and say, yeah, that's nice in theory, but what if I don't have this? What if I lose it? What if I don't continue with this or continue in this? Or what if I don't get this? Whatever your this is, you can fill in the blank. To that, Jesus is saying, listen, consider the natural world, the birds, the lilies. I provide for them. I sustain them. I give to them. So how much more do you think I will provide for you? How much more do you think I will sustain you? How much more do you think I would give to you all that you need? Just choose me. Set your heart on me. Pursue me. Be devoted to me. Love me. Allow me to be the master of your life, and then you'll find peace, joy, the freedom that only I can offer you. I can cut the ropes that are entangling you. I'll finish with this. James Lowell said, once to every man and nation comes a moment to decide. In the strife of truth or falsehood, for the good or for the evil side. But to every man there openeth a highway and a low. As Jesus would say, a heavenly way or an earthly way. And every man decideth which way his soul shall go. What's our decision? Choose Jesus or choose our earthly treasures? Let us choose wisely. Let us choose Jesus, the treasure in heaven. Let us pursue Jesus, be devoted to him, allow Jesus to be the master of our lives, the love of our lives. And if we do, he'll provide, he'll sustain, and he'll give us all that we need. We need not worry, we need not doubt, we need not fear. He'll provide all of it. So with heads bowed, eyes closed, I'm going to invite our team forward for time of invitation. Some of us in this room, if we're being honest, we are entangled with a lot of worry and anxiety. And some of it is because, if not a lot of it, or is because our hearts are misplaced. We are giving our heart to our earthly treasures, whatever your treasures are, over and before, or first and foremost, before Jesus. And this call here, which is in the context of following Jesus, living in Jesus, living like Jesus, the context is, man, we have to choose Jesus before those things. We have to make Jesus our priority. We have to make Jesus first and foremost in our life. We have to allow Jesus to be the master of our life. And so for some of us in this room, it's literally Jesus just calling us to quit fighting, quit struggling, quit holding on, but let go. Surrender your earthly treasures. Be that money, be those assets, be those relationships. Put him first and foremost. If not, you'll always be chasing, never getting, always wanting, never having, always full of anxiety. So even in this moment, as we enter a time of prayer, man, just choose Jesus. Let go, surrender. And for others of us, man, maybe it's just a time to be thankful for the goodness of God, as we sang earlier, how he's provided for us what we need. The clothes on our back, the food on our plates, place to lay our head at night, just to be thankful for our master who loves us so dearly. But if you have a decision to make, maybe it's to surrender lordship to Jesus. It's to place faith in Jesus for the very first time. It's salvation. Man, even as I pray, you can come forward. If it's, man, I need to follow through in baptism, I've been praying through that, then maybe it's just coming forward to make that public as well. Whatever your decision is, wherever God is working in your heart and life, you come forward even as I pray. Father, we come to you during this time. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for how you provide for us, how you sustain us, how you give all that we need and more. Father, help us to pursue you above and before anything and everyone else. Help our allegiance not to be divided. Help our devotion not to be divided. Help us to be single-focused. May we choose you. May you be the master of our life. So if we need to repent, if we need to surrender, if we need to let go, help us to do that in this moment. For those who need to place faith in Jesus today, let today be the day of their salvation. Bring them into a new relationship with you. We thank you that you are there to set us free, to forgive us, to offer us a new life. So move in this way during this time, Father. Move in this way for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. I'm going to ask that you stand with us as we sing. If you have a decision to make, you come during this time.